Hello there, everyone, and welcome back to all of you listeners. This is the Finals Countdown series, which is brought to you all by MedTalks. And in this series, we're providing all of you wonderful medical students with short, succinct, and super useful revision talks for your upcoming exams and just generally as life as junior doctors. Now, at the moment, we're still in the gastroenterology section of the series. And in the previous episode, we talked about pancreatic cancer. And we've had a few episodes on different types of gastrointestinal cancers. So now we're going to move away from the cancer side of things and look at a very, very common symptom, diagnosis, and that's called constipation. But before we get on to talk about that, I'd just like to mention the sponsors of this episode. And this episode is proudly sponsored by BetterHelp. And that's help as in H-E-L-P. And guys, for all of you listeners who are medical students and are feeling stressed with revision and upcoming exams, sometimes this can get quite overwhelming, and we have all been there. If you feel like things are getting a bit much for you, then BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and to help you. You can talk to a therapist in a completely private and online environment at your own convenience. There is a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapist network that gives you access to help that may not be available in your area. And all you have to do is just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then they can get you matched with the therapist in just under 48 hours. After this, you then schedule a secure video and phone session. Plus, you can exchange unlimited messages, and everything you share is absolutely and completely confidential. You can also request a new therapist at no additional charge anytime. Join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. And just to make things even better, there is a special offer to all of you MedTalks listeners. You can get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp by entering the URL betterhelp.com/medtalks. That's betterhelp.com/medtalks. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. So first things first, what is constipation? Is it a symptom? Is it a sign? Is it a diagnosis? What does it mean? Well, really, it means different things to different people. So always ask a patient exactly what they mean when they say that they're constipated. It should really be classified as a symptom and not a diagnosis. And there are various formal and different definitions of constipation. But a widespread definition is a defecation that is unsatisfactory because of infrequent stools, so that's less than 3 times weekly, or difficult stool passage, so with straining or discomfort, or seemingly incomplete defecation. The stools are often dry and hard, and they may be abnormally large or abnormally small. So, always ask the patient what they mean when they say they're constipated. They may mean that their feces are too hard. They may mean that they do not defecate often enough for their inner cleanliness. They may say that their defecation hurts. They may also say that they have diarrhea. And be aware that in the elderly population, you should consider constipation in any patient that presents with confusion or delirium or a functional decline, nausea or a loss of appetite, overflow diarrhea, and also urinary retention. Fecal loading or impaction should be suspected when there is a history of hard or lumpy stools, which may be large and infrequent, so for example past every week to 10 days, or small and relatively frequent, so past every 2 to 3 days. If there is a history of a need to use manual methods of fecal extraction, then that may suggest fecal impaction. Or if there's any overflow fecal incontinence, any loose stool, excessive wiping or regularly soiled underwear, then you should think about fecal impaction. Now let's look at what the causes of constipation are in adults. And it's always vital to take a careful history to help us determine the different causes. And we should always consider the possibility of a serious underlying cause and think about red flags such as weight loss or rectal bleeding. So when taking that history, we need to ask about the frequency, nature, and consistency of a stool, whether there's any blood or mucus in or on the stool, whether it's constipation that alternates with diarrhea, or whether there's been a recent change in the bowel habit, so a patient normally has pretty consistent bowel, suddenly becomes constipated or suddenly develops diarrhea. We should always inquire about accompanying symptoms such as fever, weight loss, lethargy, vomiting, or loss of appetite. And as part of our history, we need to think about the family history. So any history of family history of inflammatory bowel disease or bowel cancer. We should also always assess risk factors that can lead to constipation, and these include inadequate dietary fiber or fluids, a lack of exercise, any toileting habits that might predispose someone to constipation, so feeling hurried or being disturbed when they're trying to defecate, withholding or ignoring the urge to defecate, privacy, so often patients in hospital don't feel like going to the toilet because they're not going in their own private environment, and that can only make their constipation worse. Other risk factors include anxiety, depression, cognitive impairment, or an eating disorder. And then maybe drug treatments or clinical features might suggest an underlying organic cause of the secondary constipation. Now, if patients are constipated, then we need to perform different examinations. We should always do a thorough examination of the abdomen to exclude any tenderness, any obvious distension, any palpable masses, or a palpable colon, which does suggest that there may be some retained feces. We should also perform a rectal examination. Yes, it's not pleasant, but it must be done. And this is to exclude any anal fissures, any hemorrhoids, skin tags, any sign of rectal prolapse, any skin erythema or excoriation around the anus opening, which may be a sign of fecal leakage. We should check the resting anal sphincter tone, any rectal mass lesions and retained feces. And a fecal mass can be distinguished from a tumour or a cyst because firm pressure exerted by a finger will typically leave a palpable indentation in the hard feces. We also want to assess pelvic floor dysfunction. So while asking the person to bear down, there may be paradoxical contraction of the anal sphincter on straining. Also want to look for any leakage of stool, any rectal or anal pain when doing the examination. Now let's go on to think about the main causes of constipation, and this can be split into different areas. So the common causes are a low fiber intake, inadequate fluid or dehydration, immobility or a lack of exercise, irritable bowel syndrome, elderly age, post-operative, and being in a hospital environment, so having a lack of privacy or having to use a bedpan. Other pathologies might be anorectal disease, so an anal fissure or anal stricture or rectal prolapse. There may be some intestinal obstruction, so if there's any strictures in Crohn's disease, colorectal cancer, a pelvic mass, diverticulosis, although rectal bleeding is a more common presentation of that, congenital abnormalities, and then we should also exclude any metabolic or endocrine causes like hypothyroidism, hypercalcemia, hypokalemia, drugs, so opioids such as morphine or codeine, we know very well they can predispose to constipation, anticholinergics like tricyclics, iron supplements, also neuromuscular causes like spinal or pelvic nerve injury, systemic sclerosis, Hirschsprung's disease, a diabetic neuropathy, and other causes including chronic laxative abuse. Now this is rare, and obviously for obvious reasons diarrhea is more common. Patients may have an idiopathic slow transit. Those are the main causes. In terms of investigations, most of the time constipation doesn't really need any extensive investigation, particularly in young and mildly affected patients, but the indications for investigation will include being over 40 years of age, a recent change in bowel habits, and having associated symptoms like weight loss, rectal bleeding, mucus discharge, or tenesmus. And investigations that might be done are so blood tests, such as a full blood count, urine, a calcium level, and thyroid function tests, look for any hypothyroidism. Patients may warrant a sigmoidoscopy and a biopsy of any abnormal mucosa, a barium enema and a colonoscopy if there's any suspected colorectal malignancy. And there are other special investigations, for example, looking at transit studies, which very often, but only occasionally, are indicated. Finally, we'll touch on the management of constipation, and we try to avoid getting onto pharmacological agents like laxatives. So the first thing we want to do is treat the cause, mobilize the patient, increase fluid intake, and increase high fiber food intake like fruits and veg. And if those above measures fail, then we need to consider drugs, but we should only try and use it for short durations, and we should tell patients to gradually reduce and stop laxatives once they start producing soft form stools without any straining at least 3 times per week, and this will need regular reviews according to clinical judgments. So, moving on to the drug therapy, it should be tried in the order as follows. So the first thing that should be tried are bulk producers. So these increase fecal mass, which then stimulates peristalsis, and they should be taken with plenty of fluid. Contraindications include difficulty in swallowing, intestinal obstruction, and fecal impaction. And examples include methyl cellulose and bran powder, which should be used with food. Then the second line is osmotic agents, and these help to retain fluid in the bowel. So macrogols can be used, especially for long-term management in chronic constipation, lactulose, and magnesium salts. Third line are stool softeners, so liquid paraffin, arachis oil enemas, they lubricate and soften the impacted feces, but side effects can include malabsorption of fat-soluble vitamins. Fourth line are stimulants, so these increase intestinal motility, but they should not be used in intestinal obstruction. And these include bisoccodyl or laxido and docusate sodium, so they have stimulant and also softening effects. Prolonged use of these should be avoided because it can cause colonic atony, so lack of movement in the colon, and hypokalemia. And then the final stage is enemas and suppositories, so sodium phosphate enemas, but these should be left to the last stage. They are useful for rapid bowel evacuation prior to procedures. So that brings me to the end of this talk on constipation. It's an extremely common presentation, especially in the elderly population, and whilst we try and avoid using pharmacological agents, most often we do need to use them. And please feel free to re-listen to this episode to go through the different agents that can be used and the different specifications. Thanks very much for listening. Please remember to share these episodes with your friends, your peers, and anyone else who may find them useful. And we've got plenty more episodes coming up for you in our finals countdown series, so do stay tuned. You can message us any questions or any comments you have by DMing us Instagram medtalks.uk or email us at hellomedtalks@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from you. And we'll bring you lots more content, so stay tuned. All the best.